Dean Kirk wanted everyone to know that he worked very hard to cook that meal yesterday, and that that had been an old recipe he's had for a long time. No, I'm just kidding. Actually, I got Dean in a lot of trouble this morning. People were saying, Dean, you didn't cook that meal. Why are you letting Nathan thank you for it? So I decided, whoever that was, to let them stew a little bit more on me saying that. But Dean said that it was Tom Genduso and his recipe that they used yesterday. So let's give credit where credit is due. But there wouldn't have been a lot of cooking done if the captain hadn't had everything organized and ready. So still thanks in order for you, Dean. Open your Bibles to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, and we'll continue where we started last week as we look here at the end of chapter 5, a text where we recognize a lot of these things, pray without ceasing, rejoice, all these things that are listed here, we've seen them before, and it's a familiar text, and it is, as we talked about last week, a place where Paul uses 19 imperative verbs in the Greek. Previous to this chapter, he uses 4 in the book, and then he finishes up the book with 19, all in a rapid succession. So it is an interesting text, to say the least, as we look at these things that we must do here as he goes through some. Most of your Bibles are probably going to have above that Christian conduct, but it's really a little bit more than just that simple type of label. Well, last week we looked at 10 and 11, which was really tied to the context of the beginning of the chapter, but it had a couple of imperatives in it, and I wanted to go ahead and get them, but now we're going to kind of shift gears in the text, and the rest of this will go forward on a different context. But verse 12 says, "But we request of you, brethren, that you appreciate those who diligently labor among you and have charge over you in the Lord and give you instruction, and that you esteem them very highly in love because of their work. Live in peace with one another." You know, one of the things that we always need to take note of is that, and I mentioned this last week as well, these petition verbs. Right here at the beginning where he says, "But we request of you," and we're going to see a little further down in verse 14 that he urges us. Those are petition verbs, and when we see those, it indicates a change of subject. And it also indicates something that you really need to pay attention to. Or not necessarily a change of subject, but maybe a change in who he's addressing. And that's the case in this particular verse. He's changing who he's addressing. And then in verse 14, he's going to change again to another group of people. But, you know, the Lord built his church understanding that it was going to be composed ultimately of people. And people of differing abilities, positions, and functions. Now, these different functions would help the church effectively accomplish God's purpose in this world. You know, if everybody had to do the same thing, or if everybody was, you know, set to do the same thing, some people wouldn't necessarily be good at it, just from the nature of their talents, the nature of their abilities. But yet, there are many things for us to do in the Lord's church, and, you know, it's not required upon Nathan to be able to do them all. That's why we are here together. So that what I don't do well, some of you do. And, you know, what I do well, maybe you don't. But we pick up each other's slack. You know, it's kind of like a marriage too, isn't it? Jeannie is very good at some things that I'm not very good at. And I'm good at some things she's not. And we kind of meet in the middle, and it helps the relationship as a whole. And so same thing with us in the Lord's church. You know, this is seen in an overall sense in Ephesians chapter 4 and verses 11 through 13, where Paul says there, "And he gave some as apostles, some as prophets, some as evangelists, and some as pastors and teachers." Why? "For the equipping of the saints for the work of service to the building up of the body of Christ until we all attain to the unity of faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to a mature man, to the measure of the stature which belongs to the fullness of Christ." You see, not everybody was every one of those things, but there were specific people that were. And they all worked toward one goal, and that is the building up of the body in Christ, the equipping of the Lord's saints. While every member is important and each is expected to contribute to the overall effectiveness of the body, we need to understand this as well, that all are not leaders. And that's just the way that it is. There are people that are not leaders for various reasons. I mean, certainly, even setting aside the qualifications, say, of elders, some will not meet those qualifications just simply not because they're sinful, but maybe because they're not married, maybe because they don't have children. You know, there could be a lot of different things there in the qualifications that might prevent a person from being an elder. But you know, there's also things, setting that aside, there's also just some people with the personality type that doesn't mold well to being a leader. They are the kind that would be more than happy to do anything and everything, but would like somebody to kind of lead them. And that's fine too. We need all those people we can get as well. So, you know, I mean, there's a lot of things that come into play when we think about all the types of people that make up the Lord's church. Well, the two verses in 1 Thessalonians that we are reading or that we're addressing tonight, those are addressed to people who are not leaders. Now, when we get to verse 14, in fact, most of the rest of the text is going to be Paul addressing leaders, what their responsibilities are. But here he's talking to those that are not leaders and how they're going to respond to the leaders of the congregation. Now, some debate over what the leadership role is here in this particular text. It seems from the Greek that Paul is talking about one specific group, not just necessarily anybody that's doing something and leading the way, or even teachers or preachers or even deacons, but it seems to be that he is addressing one specific group, and that would seem to be, at least from what is said in the text, would seem to be the elders in this particular case and how we address and we deal with them. Paul gives two commands that are directed to those who do not fill these leadership positions. Number one is that we appreciate the leaders, our leaders. You know, the word for appreciate means literally to know, to understand, to recognize. You know, it's important for us. It's hard to appreciate somebody we don't know. So, I mean, whoever is the lead, you know, the elders of the congregation, you need to get to know them. You need to get to know them, and that helps you better understand them, helps you better understand why they might say or why they might do or the decisions they might make, helps you understand the kind of person that they are, helps you to appreciate them more. You know, as I've gone through years, and I've worked under a number of elderships, a number of elders, you know, every elder is kind of unique. And they have their strengths, and they have their things that they're not so strong with. It's just like every one of us. And, you know, it's kind of interesting. The ones that I've had the most trouble as far as kind of, you know, understanding, I found that as I got to know them better, I came to understand their personality. I came to understand, you know, maybe they had a very dry sense of humor, and you kind of had to see that and come to understand that, and then you saw them in a whole different light. Sometimes, you know, men need to get more familiar with you before they can really kind of let you see who they are. And all those things are important. So it is important for us to know in order to be able to appreciate. And that's part of the aspect of that word. So we should know and understand as well and recognize what it takes to lead in the Lord's church. It is not an easy task. You know, I've heard men say, I've seen the job and I don't want it. And I'm not sure I like that statement because we need men to step up and to lead. Jesus Christ saw the cross and didn't want it either, but he still went and did it because that's what needed to be done. You know, there are three participles in this verse as well that demonstrate how the command is to be followed. So how do I appreciate those that lead? Appreciate, to appreciate them is the command. And so there are three ways in which I can accomplish this command. First is to diligently labor. They diligently labor among you. You know, we need to understand that their work is not easy. And you need to be alert to the difficulties endured by the leaders of the church. Sometimes it's very easy that the only time we really pay any attention to them is when they do something we don't like. And then we pop our heads up and we have something to say about the elders when we don't really pay attention to all that they're doing, that we never really seem to take the time to look and see. Because there is so much that they do that's unheralded and unknown even to many. You know, people who constantly gripe about the elders often do so because they do not have a clue about how difficult the responsibilities are that these men have placed upon them. And so we need to open up our eyes and our ears and be more aware. Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 17, writer of Hebrews says, obey your leaders and submit to them, for they keep watch over your souls as those who will give an account. Let them do this with joy and not with grief, for this would be unprofitable for you. You know, we need to recognize the difficulty of their job. Now, the writer of Hebrews, there's no ambiguity here. Obey them. Now, the only way in which that would be removed is if they were asking you to do something that would go against the Holy Scriptures. And so, but otherwise, they make decisions and they make judgments on behalf of this congregation, this flock here, and their elders in whatever congregation they're at anywhere else, make those decisions, and those things should be obeyed by members of the church. It's not an option. And you know, the writer of Hebrews is very clear with that. But we need to recognize, as this text talks about in Hebrews 13, 17, we need to recognize the difficulty and make it as easy as possible upon them so that they can do the best job possible. You know, far too often, elders, and I can even relate to this as a preacher, so this is one of those things I can kind of relate with them, because sometimes we end up dealing with so much silliness, just people being silly, and I say silly not in a funny way, but just worried about and consumed with silly things, things that don't matter at the end of the day, won't matter in eternity, and they're so worried, so concerned about those things, that so much of time is drawn into those areas that the things that really are important are having time taken away from them. And so we need to be aware of that. Is what I'm doing really worthy of the elders or the leaders of the congregation or the preacher, whoever? Is it really worthy for me to take their time for this in lieu of the greater things? You know, maybe it does need to be addressed. But, you know, we need to make sure that we're not just on our soapbox and on things that really, at the end of the day, are not as important as maybe we would like to think they are. So we need to think about spiritual needs, and they certainly have a great responsibility to meet the spiritual needs of the congregation, which he says, in Hebrew, the writer of Hebrews says, that they watch over your souls because they're going to give an account. Now, so not only do they diligently labor among us, and we need to acknowledge that and see that so that we can better appreciate them, but he also then, the other part, the second part of the simple is that they have charge over you in the Lord. In Acts chapter 20 and verse 28, as Paul talks to the elders at Ephesus, he says, "Be on guard for yourselves and for all the flock among which the Holy Spirit made you overseers to shepherd the church of God, which he purchased with his own blood." You know, we need to recognize and know that the elders have authority over us. And it is authority given by, not us, but by the Holy Spirit, by God himself. And we need to recognize that and understand that they have a responsibility. They have a charge over us. Hebrews chapter 13 that we just read says that we obey them. Why? Because they give an account. See, it doesn't matter whether I agree with them at the end of the day. It matters whether or not God agrees with them at the end of the day. And they will answer to that. There is the idea that there is varying amounts of accountability as we go along. There's general accountability that we all will stand and give an account for that which we do in the body. There's also some specific accountability that's added to that. I, as the gospel preacher, will give an account to God. I will be judged by God based on what I did or did not do as a gospel preacher. Because I chose to take up that, God then is going to hold me accountable to it. Did you do what I said a preacher should do? Did you preach the gospel like you should have preached it? And I take that seriously because I know I have to stand before God one day and give an answer. And the elders will, even on a greater degree than me, have to give a further accounting of them and their responsibilities as the shepherds of the flock here. And so, you know, we need to recognize that. We need to recognize that that is a great burden upon these men as well, to know what is upon them. You know, it isn't like we can decide, you know, I'm not going to do it this week. Because the Lord is going to see that. It's like young preachers that I've seen that have had great ability, and for whatever reason, because things didn't go well, they were going to quit preaching. And I told them, do you really think you want to stand before the Lord with the ability that you have and the experience that you have and the training that you went through and that you are equipped for this, and then you're just going to quit it and not do it, and you don't think the Lord's going to ask you why? No, we need to be aware of that and appreciate them for taking that responsibility upon themselves. You know, it's tough enough to live the Christian life, isn't it? To think about giving account just for my life in general without throwing on more accountability through voluntary leadership. And then the third participle here is to give you instruction. This third thing. So they have a responsibility. Hebrews 13 says that they keep watch over your souls. Well, they do that. A soul needs correcting from time to time. Now, this is where most people get upset with the elders, right? I don't like the elders telling me I need to do something different. And so, you know, that's where they get upset at preachers too. So I understand that one just a little bit also. But, you know, they instruct us. But they instruct us not because they're tyrants or because they want to run your life. They instruct you because they want to see you in heaven. That's their purpose. And so we listen and we appreciate that. Not get mad at them, but we appreciate the fact that they care enough. You know, there's a lot of people in the Lord's church that will let a brother or sister just live in sin, knowing that that could cost them their souls and never open their mouth. And I ask, is that love? I'd much rather I love a brother that will tell me. I may not like to hear it. I'll be honest with that. Nobody does, do they? But I love a brother who loves me enough to tell me that, hey, you need to fix this in your life. You need to put your life on the straight and narrow again. That's a brother. That's a child of God at heart. And so, you know, when we think about these men, and I mean, think about the men here. You know, you got 350 people, and they have the responsibility to try to, you know, keep up and to help and to instruct. We should know that and understand that so that we can better appreciate. They are to provide spiritual guidance from God's Word, and members are to accept that guidance from God's Word as well. Well, so that's the first command, that we appreciate those that lead us. And those three ways in the manner in which we do it, that we recognize those things and we appreciate the fact that those men choose to do that. Now, verse 3 tells us that we should, verse 13 rather, says, and that you esteem them very highly in love because of their work, live in peace with one another. So verse 13, we see that we are to esteem our leaders, that we are to give them honor. This goes to what we see in Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 17, that we honor them, that we make their efforts joyful. Now, there's going to be things that elders face that are, you can never say will be joyful. That's not going to be. They have to face those things. But it sure is easier to face those things when they know that people are going to understand why they've had to make the hard call, maybe. And, you know, we make that easier on them, and we appreciate them, and we trust them to do those things that are right and according to God's will. And that makes their job easier. It makes my job easier. And it's one thing that one of the great things that I appreciate about the men here is that I can preach the truth here, and those men I know back me up. I don't wonder if the elders are going to get, you know, they are behind me when I appreciate, even on subjects that a lot of people don't like to hear. They have at times here come up here and followed me up after a very difficult subject and said, we stand there. And that means so much to a preacher to know that someone's there with me. See, that's the same thing. When we're there with them, when they make the hard decisions, it makes it easier on them to know that there's someone standing behind. I have been at places where I didn't have that kind of support from the elders. I've been at places where I had an eldership that told me not to preach certain truths from God's Word, and I told them, I'm sorry, you don't have the authority to do that. See, that would be a point where they are violating Scripture. And I knew that when I taught that or preached that, that I didn't have any backup behind me. Other than I had members backing me up, but as far as from the leadership, I knew that I could be facing some difficult things. So, you know, it is a wonderful thing to know that people are honoring you and there for you. You know, when you recognize and know the importance and difficulty of what elders do in the church, you will esteem them in the ways that Paul mentions in this text. You know, when we think about the term, they're very highly, esteem them very highly, we think about 1 Timothy chapter 5 and verse 17, that there are, you know, an elder that dedicates himself to teaching and preaching, and that's that feeding or that instructing that we just saw just a moment ago. One that dedicates himself to teaching and preaching is worthy of double honor. You know, they are to be honored, but if they are men really given to feeding the flock and teaching and preaching, then they are to be given double honor. They are worthy of that, working hard as teachers to give us instruction. Also, that we are not only to esteem them highly, but also to esteem them in love, the text says here. Love, you know, we love them for their labor of love on our behalf. Now, my parents raising me was a labor. Right? And if any of you say your parents didn't have to labor to raise you, you're lying. I call you down tonight. It was a labor, but you know what it was? It was a labor of love. I didn't always appreciate it. I do now. Because it was that labor of love that built the character within me that I have. Built so many of the qualities in me that I'm actually proud of, that I have in my life. And they come from that labor of love from my parents. And I love them. I esteem them in love for in return for their love. And you know, I can't think of any reason. I mean, outside of it, and we certainly do not have that here, but outside of those individuals like Diotrephes that John dealt with that just sought the preeminence, I have had very few experiences with elders where they were elders for any other reason besides that they loved the church. The vast majority of elders I worked with, they love the church, and they make that sacrifice. They volunteer to do those things because of that great love, and it behooves us to return that love to them and to show them that and esteem them in that manner. So why esteem them? Because of their hard work, because they volunteered for the headaches and difficulty that's brought upon them. I don't think anybody, when Ken and Leslie became elders and I preached some lessons on elders, Ken came up to me and said, "Are you just trying to get me to not want to be an elder?" You know, it's sort of like a job description. You really want the honest truth, don't you? I mean, these guys go into this understanding that this is not an easy thing. I think that, you know, preaching's not an easy thing, and I try to make that clear to people thinking about preaching. You know, there's some things you need to think about before you drink that cup. You know, Jesus told John and James when they wanted to sit at his right and left, he said, "Are you really ready to drink that? You really know what that means?" And so, you know, preaching's not easy, but I would say that it's the best life there is, but there's a lot of difficulty that comes with it too, and that's the case with a lot of things in this life. But these men volunteer for that. They sacrifice a lot of time and energy accomplishing these things. You don't know about that. You don't know about how many hours they spend during the week having to deal with certain issues that you never see the light of day of because they handle them in a manner that keeps it from becoming a problem within the congregation. Those kind of things we never see, but we need to esteem them and appreciate them for being there and doing that. For, you know, some things left unchecked, and if an eldership is not vigilant, they can get into the congregation and wreak havoc upon a congregation. And that's the last thing in the world that we want to see happen, because that destroys souls at the end of the day. People that don't understand and don't know what's going on, and so their faith is just demolished, and they never come back. You know, I was at a situation where I got to a congregation and it split right after I got there. It wasn't because of me. I know some of you go, "Well, maybe they didn't want to hire you." No, it predated my birth, okay? So it was way before me that all these things began. It just happened to come to a head right after I got there. And you know, I spent a year with the elders going to people's houses, people that had nothing to do with the issue that was involved, but just were so discouraged. And going and sitting in their living rooms and talking to them, trying to get them to come back to church. And a few we did. A few we didn't. And so, you know, it's a tragedy. And so a strong eldership is an eldership that prevents those things from ever coming to the light of day, deals with them early and proactively. You know, we esteem them because they have to lead volunteers that will only follow if they want. Now, if you're a supervisor or someone of authority at work, you tell somebody to do something, they're going to do it, aren't they? Or they get fired. I mean, most people need that paycheck, and they'll do what they don't want to do because they need that paycheck. Whether they like it or not, they're going to do it. And so, you know, from that standpoint, it's much easier to be a person in authority in the world because you do have that over their head. Elders and leaders in the Lord's church, deacons understand this very well too. You're dealing with an all-volunteer group. You'll come tonight. You're here tonight because you chose to be here tonight. And nothing I can do to make you be here. And the people that aren't here, if we look at the attendance on the board and see it's vastly different from this morning's, then, you know, the people that aren't here, can't make them be here. The elders can't make them be here. Can't make them do anything. Can't make anybody do anything. And so they work with an all-volunteer force. And that's tough. It's tough when you have a work day and a handful of people show up and, you know, you have to carry a lion's share of the load. You know, that's tough because you couldn't make people come. And so, you know, it's a very difficult thing from a leadership position. So, you know, as we think about this, and I think what's being put forth here by Paul is that it's not easy. You know, he finishes the verse with live in peace with one another. You know, if we appreciate and respect our leaders, there will be peace between leaders and the ones being led. And that doesn't mean that we, like I said, doesn't mean we agree on everything in regards to how we do things in the Lord's church aside from what's doctrinally laid out. But it does mean that if we appreciate each other, that we can handle those differences in a peaceful way, in a loving, kind, Christian manner. I guess the old saying, you know, that we can disagree without being disagreeable. I guess that's an interesting and probably a pretty good way to put it. Well, it is wonderful to have someone lovingly watching out for you. You know, as a child, and I hope my children understand this too, as a child I always knew my dad was going to protect me. He was always going to take care of me. And, you know, even when we were in the basement and a tornado was outside, you know, I knew Dad was there to take care of me. That gave me comfort. That gave me strength for the moment. And, you know, it's the same thing as well. It's wonderful to know that we have loving men watching out for our souls, and that should give us a certain amount of comfort, a certain amount of reassurance in our lives. It's sometimes difficult to go through this life. And to know that we have people wanting the very best for us and willing to help us is a wonderful thing. You know, most of the rest of this text that we will be studying as we go forward teaches our leaders how to be worthy of such appreciation and esteem. That's, you know, as he goes into verse 14, he says, I urge you, brethren. He's now talking to the leaders. He shifted off of the non-leader aspect of the congregation and has shifted to the leaders and what their responsibilities are to us. So, you know, the remainder of this, I know a lot of times we look at these things and we look at them from a perspective of us individually, but the context is really toward the leadership. But the principles hold true for everybody. Even when we look at elder qualifications or deacon qualifications in Timothy and Titus, we come to understand that a lot of those qualifications are just general Christian life things you should have as a child of God. And, I mean, there's a few that are not required but of everybody, but most of them are required of us all to live the Christian life. And so, as we go forward, we'll look at that, but like I said, it's not going to be just for them. It's going to be attitudes and things that all of us need to take and put into our lives. But as we think about it being wonderful to have someone that lovingly cares for us, there's so many people in this world that seek that in the world and never find it. Because ultimately, the world is generally selfish. The world is generally about themselves. They're not going to put forth any more effort if they're not going to get something in return. Jesus dealt with that in His day. So, you know, if you're out there in the world and you're looking for somebody that truly cares, someone that's truly got your back, someone that's truly looking to help you move to a better place in life, it's going to be hard to find. The wonderful thing is in the Lord's church, it's not hard to find. It is, we are filled with people that their goal is to get us all to heaven. And that's wonderful to know. If you're looking for that in the world and you're not finding it today, you find it here if you come to Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ has died for you. He is the ultimate example of one that has given everything to push you forward into a place you need to be. You can come to Him tonight and obey the gospel of Jesus Christ and become a child of God and to be led by men that have your soul's interest at heart. If you're a child of God this evening, maybe you've forgotten that we do have a responsibility to esteem our leaders, that we do have a responsibility to respect and appreciate them, even when we don't agree. Change your heart tonight in regard to that. Get to know the men of the elders of this congregation if you do not, so that you can better appreciate the blessing that we have here. If we can assist you in any way spiritually this evening, we want to. We want to help move you forward in your spiritual life closer to Jesus Christ. If we can do that this evening, we all pray that you'll come now as we stand and as we sing.